Well, you heard it right there in the news. I mean, a busy week in an unbelievably busy and historic year for President Barack Obama, winding down a trip to Asia, returning just as the Senate relaunches its debate about health care reform, Hamid Karzai inaugurated for a second term in Afghanistan as the administration considers what to do in Afghanistan, a new strategy possibly unveiled by the end of this month. There's rising unemployment in the economy. How does Barack Obama characterize all of this? He spoke with CBS News' Chip Reed yesterday.
We'd like to land some of these big planes right now. Yeah, we've got a lot of traffic circling in the air, and the runway's a little congested.
And on that congested runway, the approval ratings for Barack Obama are slipping under 50% for the first time. Well, it's one of the reasons why we asked David Plouffe, who ran Obama's presidential campaign, to join us this morning. He certainly had the president's ear when he was a candidate. He has a new book out, The Audacity to Win, The Inside Story and Lessons of Barack Obama's Historic Victory. David Plouffe, it's great to finally meet the voice behind all those emails I've been getting over the last year and a half.
Well, thanks for having me, and thanks for not putting me in your spam filter.
Yes, indeed. Well, you know, I'm a journalist. I got to look at all the facts there. So, David Plouffe, how does governing stack up to the historic campaign, which you really describe in, elegiac terms in your book, which is a terrific read about the campaign, but how's governing going?
Well, he's, doing exactly as he said he would during 2 years on the campaign. So he's trying to finally move us forward on things like health insurance reform, on energy, already doing, I think, some really important things on education in terms of, increasing charter schools and paper reform. And so, and I think he's doing a great job of building and strengthening our relationship around the world, which I think will pay dividends, big dividends over time. So, but this is hard, obviously. We're not running a campaign out in the country where 50% of the people say they're for health care or passes. We've got a Congress to deal with. A lot of the things on energy, which are going to lead to great jobs of the future, go through Congress. So, but I think he's making great progress under very, very tough circumstances. Obviously, the economy is in terrible shape. It's improving in some ways, but too many people can't find work.
And, well, 10.2% unemployment.
Every day.
10.2% unemployment. You could even hear his frustration as he talked about his hair getting gray and that's a butt of jokes around the White House. I mean, do you sense a frustration?
I think that, of course, it's what keeps him up at night. And I think that what the recovery package did both stabilized the economy, and I think it was one of the major reasons we grew last quarter, which is important because that's how we're going to create jobs. And it created or saved, when all is said and done, over 3 million jobs. But, these jobs are largely going to be created by the private sector. And so what you have to do is create the conditions for growth. So companies, both big and large, small and large, have confidence in hiring. And obviously we're seeing some return in profitability, we're seeing the economy grow, but we're not seeing enough people hire folks. And we're going to have to do everything we can to do that. But again, most of these jobs are going to be created by the private sector.
David, in your book, let me read something to you out of your book. You're talking about election night, and you say the reaction was close to a kind of primal joy at seeing wrongs righted, at having risen up to achieve something cynics said couldn't be done. For most of us under a certain age, any prior familiarity with this feeling came secondhand from history books. Now we owned it. And to a certain extent, it seems to me that an election like that is a little bit like the difference between the romantic wedding and the difficulties of the marriage itself. What happens to that dream, that feeling of primal joy, as you say, now that you're in a presidency, which is complicated by all those things you just talked about?
Well, sure. But I'll give you one example. I think that, and I remain confident that, and I think we got a big assist last night on the CBO scoring of the Senate bill, which, is clearly going to reduce the deficit in a major way over time and provide a lot of health care coverage for people. If and when we pass health care reform, when Barack Obama spent 2 years going around the country and was talking about hope and change, that's what he was talking about. He wasn't talking about some gauzy feeling of optimism. It was about doing hard things that have bedeviled the country for a long time. So when we pass health care reform, I can assure you we've had millions of people out there working on health care, going door knocking, making phone calls. There is going to be a primal joy because it's something we've told and experienced that hasn't happened for a lot of reasons. And this is the intractable problems that he said the American system of government
right.
wasn't dealing with, and that's what he's doing.
Well, we're not there yet on health care reform. It's going to be a tough fight in the Senate. I'm wondering if, going off that quote that Celeste read to you about owning the historic moment of the election, does Barack Obama own the Afghan war right now, own the situation in Iraq, own the 10.2% unemployment rate? It's not about inheriting Bush problems anymore, is it?
Well, he said he does. I mean, obviously, we did both from a budget deficit problem, the financial crisis. Obviously, he inherited an absolute mess economically. And he's, but as he said, he's the president now, and he's making decisions. And,
And you own it.
What's that?
You own it.
Yeah, and he's obviously, I think, on Iraq. He promised during the campaign to wind that down and get combat troops out, and I think that by the end of next year that should be the case. And having to make a very, very important decision, obviously, about the next phase in Afghanistan. So, of course, when you're president, it's an old expression, but a true one. The buck stops here.
All right. So then the pressure on you to deliver a second term and for Barack Obama to win a second term couldn't be higher. It's almost as though the historic moment you describe in your book is tarnished if Barack Obama can't win a second term.
No. And he spoke to this in some interviews over in China, which is that what he's focused on is trying to solve these problems, do these tough things. We're not focused on the next election. And I think that's the right approach, because if what you're doing is focusing on what this means in Ohio or Florida, you're not going to do tough things. I mean, that's been the problem in Washington. Everyone's focused on the next news cycle, the next election, not the next generation. So, there'll be plenty of time for the next campaign. This one just ended a year ago, and the Republican campaign is already beginning. So we'll watch that, and we'll engage at the appropriate time. But I have a lot of confidence that he's making, tough decisions, both in the short term and long term, that people will respond favorably to. But
if you get offered a position in the administration, would we say we're moving closer to that moment of focusing on the campaign?
Yeah. Well, listen, I'm spending a couple years on the outside trying to spend as much time with my family. And, I and everyone who worked on the campaign will do anything we can to help them. What form that takes, I'll know better in a year or so.
All right. David Plouffe, a former campaign manager to Barack Obama, author of The Audacity to Win, The Inside Story and Lessons of Barack Obama's Historic Victory. Thank you, sir.
Thanks, guys. Bye.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.